We've got two readings tonight, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. The first is Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 12. That's on page 755 in this Bible. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord came to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" "I see the branch of an almond tree," I replied. The Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." And our second passage is in 1 Corinthians 14, the one Rio referred to earlier, verse 1 to 5. That's on page 1154. "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be edified."
Before he brings a word to us. Yeah, Father God, thank you for Chris and everything that you've laid on his heart. Thank you for all the way you've been speaking to him as he prepares and for the time he's put in. I pray that you will open our ears and our hearts to what you have to speak to us this evening. Amen.
And can you all hear me now? Fantastic, thank you. Thanks Kate and thanks Rio, that's really appreciated. So we're almost at the end of our series that we've been doing over the last few months on spiritual gifts. I hope you found it useful. I hope there's been some good challenge, some good encouragement in there. Personally, I found it quite thought-provoking and challenging at times. All of our sermons are available on the church website, so if anybody's interested, please have a listen back, because there's some really good stuff in there if you'd like to revisit. We as Christians believe that when we come to faith in Jesus, that our relationship with God is repaired, and that God comes to live with us as a Holy Spirit, God with us always, to encourage us and to guide us. So if Christian spirituality is new to you, if it's kind of something that's relatively new, I'd encourage you to listen back a few months back to a great introduction to the series that Claire Ginn did for us on, basically a really excellent introduction. She explained how the Holy Spirit, God with us, grows our character to be more godly, which is the fruits of the Spirit, and equips us and grows us in specific ways to help us live for him, and that's the gifts of the Spirit. So this week, we're looking at prophecy. And, it's a bit of an indistinct image, but that's an interesting picture to start us off, an image of the prophet Jeremiah when he was a bit older. If I'm honest, I find this topic really quite intimidating to preach on. I don't know what it's like for you. I'm not sure I've ever done anything prophetic or said anything prophetic ever, so I'm not really an expert. And if I'm honest, with my somewhat rationalist instincts, I'm not really quite sure what to do about prophecy. It's always a tough topic for me to grapple with. So this sermon is a result of me trying to wrestle with this a little bit, to try and get my head further around what the Bible teaches about what prophecy is, and to try and demystify it for myself and hopefully for us as well. My thinking on this is by no means complete. I've still got a lot to learn, and I've included a lot of Bible references on the slides as well. So if anybody's interested, I'll try and get one of the Tims to upload the slides afterwards onto the website. But if anybody would like a hard copy so you can follow up on some of these references in your reading afterwards, please let me know and we can do that. So, prophecy then. We can think of prophecy as being another word for fortune telling or divination or something like that. But if we look in the Bible, that's not what it's about at all. It's far better than that and far, far more grounded in reality, it seems. God made us. God made me. God made you. God made all of us. And he loves us and he cares for us deeply. We're designed to know him and to be in relationship with him. It's God who defines everything that's good, and everything that's good already can become perfect when it's centered and fueled by relationship with God. But, as is a favourite phrase of one of Megan's aunts, we're a mess. We're a mess, I'm a mess, we're a mess. Our thoughts and our actions and our attitudes often let us down. They cause us harm, they can cause harm to others, others as well, and they can push God out of our lives. The results of this in our world are fairly plain for us to see. And if we're honest and we reflect on our own lives, they're often plain for ourselves to see as well. But God still loves us. He longs for us to be in relationship with him again, and for us to know him and to know his goodness guiding our lives in everything. So that's why he sent Jesus. Jesus came and he took the punishment for all of our individual and all of our collective misdemeanors and wrongdoings. And to restore our relationship with God, to wash us clean by his blood so that we can be forgiven, that we can know God again and know his presence with us throughout our lives by his grace, not by anything that we've achieved. So one day, we believe as Christians, that everything will be put right. Everything will be set straight again. Everything will be made perfect. But until then, we'll be Christians trying to live for God in an imperfect world with all of our ingrained bad habits and a difficult society to live in at times. But God is still with us, even though things aren't perfect yet. God is still with us, and he helps us to live for him. And that's really worth remembering. He's given us the Bible to help understand who he is, to learn about who God is, and to know the right way forwards. He's given us each other that we can help and support and guide each other along the way in our Christian life to become more like Jesus. He's given us a spirit. He's given us prayer, the way that we can talk to God and relate to him. And that helps guide us through our walk with him. He lives with us with the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit, he reminds us of his goodness and reminds us of the right way that we should be doing things. Our God is wonderful. He cares for us. He gives us so much to help us out in doing the right thing in our lives. And most of the time, the Bible and prayer and each other, all that sort of stuff, that's more than enough. But every now and again, God needs to step in and tell us clearly and show us clearly where we are, where we stand with him, and where we're going as individuals and as a church as well. And that's where prophecy comes in. What we understand by prophecy and somebody being prophetic is somebody passing on a message from God, something God is saying into a particular situation, someone who speaks on God's behalf in a particular situation. So God might give us a warning if we're heading in the wrong direction. He might give us affirmation if we're on the right track. He might give us encouragement if things are really hard at the moment. That's what he might say to us. And looking at the prophecies in the Bible, through the Old Testament and the New Testament, they can come in a various different forms. God can sort of deliver these messages as like metaphors, like the plumb line in Amos 7, or allegorical images like in Joel chapter 2. He can remind us of pieces of scripture that show a situation that's similar to the one that we're currently in, like Matthew chapter 2 and the passage in Jeremiah 31 as well. Or sometimes he can just give us plain, honest, straight-speaking advice, like in Micah chapter 5 and verse 8. The Old and New Testaments are full of prophecy, of God stepping in and speaking to his people. And if, when we read our Bibles, we can learn from these. One thing that's really important about a lot of these old prophecies that we read about in the Bible is that they have a very, almost a backward-looking component, like Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 9. God shows us how we've got from where we used to be to where we are now, and reflects on how did we get here. Also, generally in a prophetic word, God shows directly or indirectly the current situation, where we are now, how did we get here, where are we going now, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And there's usually a future-looking component as well, because the idea of God speaking is it so we can respond, we can turn to him and rely on him more to help us in the situation that we're in. God's main aim is to guide us and help us in living for him. And some of these prophetic things that happened in the Old Testament, as you said, are recorded in the Bible, and we can learn from them and learn how we can follow those sorts of things now and learn what it means to be in relationship with God and to listen for him. So, for example, a few of the types of things that prophetic words that are in the Bible, there can be things like warnings, like in 2 Samuel 12, where the particular prophet calls out a sin that's not been dealt with so that it can be. It could be a reassurance. God could be reassuring us, like in Micah 6, where in a time of pride, of hypocrisy, of injustice and impending invasion of God's people, God tells his people that he's going to send a ruler from a humble little town called Bethlehem, that he's going to come and set things straight. He's going to be a compassionate shepherd, and that his strength will give peace. God could be encouraging us, like in Daniel 7, where Daniel, living under a very oppressive regime, saw a vision of Jesus, the coming Saviour, who had the power and the authority to set things straight. To know that God was still in control was a massive encouragement to Daniel in the situation that he was in at the time. And God can lift our eyes to the possibilities and to the consequences of the decisions that we make. So like Haggai, a minor prophet in the Old Testament, who spoke to God's people when they were trying to rebuild the temple. They got it half finished and started to lose interest a little bit. And he explained what life would be like if the people didn't make God the center of what they did, but also raised the possibilities and encouragement of what happens if you do. How good could it be if we make God the center of things? And there's a good passage in 2 Peter that reminds us that the Old Testament prophecies looked forward, in many cases, to Jesus. We're looking forward to the salvation that God had planned right from the beginning. It wasn't fortune-telling for our benefit. It wasn't post-rationalization or anything like that. It was helping God's people at the time to know where things were heading and to know his help and to help them do the right thing. And we can learn from that, people looking forward to Jesus, when we can reflect on their situations. And we believe that God is speaking to us now. We believe that the Bible is a living word. We believe that the Spirit is with us. And that God really wants us to understand where we are, how we got to where we are now, where we are and where we're heading in him, so that we can rely on him, we can turn to him and let him help us with that. So how do we know prophecy when we see it, though? It's a really tough question. It's one that I thought of and then didn't really know how to respond to. Some people say that when they've had a prophetic word before, like Kate shared earlier, sometimes you're not quite sure where it's heading. But other times, people have a real sense of peace, a real sense of clarity, of knowing where things are, a sense that God understands who they are and the situation that they're in. The assurance sometimes of being on the right track when God speaks to them. And that can be a real boost to people's faith. That's something you hear quite a bit. But to be honest, if we think about it as well, it's not, prophecy doesn't have the monopoly on those feelings for us sometimes. A lot of those responses can be responses to somebody giving us just good, godly, wise advice. Sometimes if people just share their opinion with us, we can feel peace and clarity and perspective and all that sort of thing as well. Sometimes even bad advice, self-delusion or self-persuasion can make us feel that way at the time as well. So how do we know? How do we know we're on the right track? We can't just, or shouldn't just, wait and see how our decisions pan out to know whether something was originally from God or not. That would be a very risky way to live our Christian life. Thankfully, though, God has given us ways to help discern and figure out what he's saying to us in a particular situation. For a start, something that I've shared before, and sorry for harping on and on and on about this, but there's a great passage in 1 Corinthians 12 that points us in these directions when God is speaking. If God is guiding us by his Spirit, if God is guiding us through somebody else, it should acknowledge Jesus. It should be founded in the gospel, the core Christian message and values that we believe. It should be something that is from God, not by the person's own attainment or by their own imagination or by their own accomplishment. So, when God speaks, it will glorify and honour him. It will glorify God and not the person themselves that's bringing the message. And it should build God's people up collectively. It shouldn't be a selfish thing. When God speaks to us, he intends for it to be a blessing for all of us as well. And it has to agree with the Bible. We believe that that God gave us the Bible, the Spirit inspired it, the Bible is true and correct, and therefore, if God is speaking, it has to agree with what's in the Bible. So if something doesn't fulfill all of those, then it's probably not from God. So that, going back to the original diagram, that kind of filters out the rubbish. How then do we go about next bit? How do we discern between what's God's voice and what is just good, honest, godly, well-meaning advice? And that's where community comes in. That's why it's so important to be God's people together, trying to discern the way forwards in God. And that's quite a responsibility for us. When we think that God is speaking to us, we should be sharing. We should be wanting to share this. We should then be, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, we should be weighing, we should be testing, we should engage our brains with this, we should be looking to the Bible, we should be discussing these sorts of things. And from that, we can then discern where God is speaking to us and where he isn't. And then we can decide how we're going to respond, what we're going to do next, where is God leading us as his people. So it should be, therefore, be a matter of course for us to be sharing and encouraging each other with the things that we learn about God, the things that we read in the Bible that are encouraging. And we should be trying to form the kind of relationships within our community at South Parade and throughout the church where we can share things and not worry that we'll be judged if we say something that's wrong or partially formed in our thoughts. That if something's wrong, then somebody will set it straight and both parties will agree and it'll all be all right, rather than feeling as though they should be really scared of getting something wrong. That's not the community that we should be part of. We should be all seeking God together and sharing as we rely on him and look to him to lead us as his people. So think, talk, pray, consider where God is leading us as his people. Part of that is that means that there's certain responsibilities. If we think that God is speaking to us, like Jeremiah back in the day, if we think God is speaking, that gives certain responsibilities to the person who thinks that God has been speaking and to the person who is listening, or the people that are listening. So, a few things then for the speaker. If you think God is putting something on your mind, if you think God is saying something that's going to help guide us forwards as the church, weigh, test, think, pray about it before sharing. Filter it through the scripture first. So implicit within that is the fact that we need to be spending time with God, spending time in prayer, spending time reading the Bible, so we can be prepared for having to go through that discerning process and that looking to grow in wisdom in God. We should be looking to not over-spiritualize things. So one of the most dangerous things that we can do is to dress up our own opinions, however wise or sensible they might be, as being, oh, God might be saying this, or I think, whatever. As soon as we start putting our own opinions or something like that in godly language, that can be very, very damaging to others. So don't over-spiritualize things. Try and be making something that isn't from God seem like it might be. If you think that God is saying something to us as a church, approach it with the attitude that Jeremiah has in chapter 1, in the passage that we read earlier, or Isaiah in chapter 6, if you get the chance to read that one as well. Being aware of God's amazing power and holiness, but also being aware of our own limitations, our own tendencies to get it wrong, and to be approaching it, as Paul says in the 1 Corinthians 14 passage, be approaching things with the aim of building other people up, not to try and be big and impressive and holy ourselves. And be involved as well. Prophecy is at its best, as we see in the Old Testament in many occasions, and in the New Testament as well, when the particular person who is seeking the will of God's people is actively involved in what's going on at the time. If we are hoping that God is speaking to us and guiding us as his people, then it's far better if we're involved with that and we can be part of the process rather than standing off at a distance. So for those who are listening, if we're trying as God's people to figure out where he's leading us as a church, and I say this is a season of exciting change for us as a church, we've got certain responsibilities as well. We have a responsibility to think, to pray, to read, to consider, to weigh and discern, so that we can be correcting any errors, any bad decisions that we might make. And we can deal with that in grace and not in judgment. We need to be avoiding confirmation bias, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's a very human tendency, confirmation bias, to just accept the things that we naturally agree with and just forget the stuff that we don't really like and just dismiss it out of hand. Obviously, we know what God thinks is right and wrong. We should be very, very strong about that. But beyond that, generally, confirmation bias means that we probably, on balance, have to consider things spend a little bit more time pondering the things that we readily dismiss, and a little less time sort of just quickly accepting the things that we naturally agree with, and spending a little bit more time questioning and reflecting on those as well. Realize that wasn't the most concise explanation of confirmation bias, but anyway, look it up and see what you think. We also should have a careful attitude to self-fulfilling prophecy as well. I mean, obviously this isn't Macbeth, self-fulfilling prophecy is not entirely a negative thing. Sometimes if God is really assuring us that we're on the right track and we just need to keep going and stay strong in it, then that's a good thing to be working towards. Obviously, if we're heading down a particularly bad path, maybe that's not a good self-fulfilling prophecy to be aiming at. But again, we just need to be weighing and testing our response to these things. The most important thing, if we think God is speaking to us, if we think God is putting something on our heart, is to turn to him, ask him about it, and to invite him to give us the strength and the help to go forwards. We also need to be avoiding fatalism and superstition in all that we do when we're hearing, looking for guidance forwards in God. We need to be not looking for omens, for signs, and relentless confirmation that we're on the right track. We have a very gracious God who gives us the Bible, who gives us each other, who gives us many, many ways that we can learn his will and to guide us on. We shouldn't always be looking for the odd miraculous thing every week to help us forwards. And if we think that God is guiding us, if God's putting something particularly on your heart, or giving you a desire to be involved in something, or a realization that you probably need to stop doing such and such thing, then it should have an impact on what we do. We said sometimes just knowing that God is pointing us in a particular direction can give us great comfort, But it shouldn't just stop at that nice fuzzy feeling of, oh yeah, we're on the right track. It should have an impact on what we do next, whether that means changing something or carrying on doing something. So we should always have a response when we think that God is speaking to us as well. So all that is to say that we have a God that cares for us. We have a God that loves us deeply and really longs for us to be going the right direction in life as individuals and as a church. And the reason why is because following Jesus is the best way to do it. Following Jesus is the best way to live. And God helps us to do that as individuals and as a church. He gives us the Bible. He gives us each other to help us out with that. He gives us the Holy Spirit to remind us where we've come from, where we are now, and where we're heading in the future as well. And through that, God can lift our eyes to his path and to let us help us follow him. So what's God saying to you? Where are you at the moment? How did you get to where you are now, as the question was posed earlier? Where are we as a church at the moment? Where do we think God is taking us? Where is God showing us the possibilities? Where is God showing us the consequences? Where is God showing us the opportunities if we follow him? Where do we need to turn to God? In what ways do we need him to strengthen us and direct us forward in him, to do the right thing and to live for him? Just have a moment to think about that, and then I'll pray.